What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? I hope you saved room for the voicemail dump truck because we have a show for you today. Please allow me to introduce and please welcome Chef Reactions on the program today. What is going on, Chef? How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And I use the term very loosely.
Oh, buddy, just you wait. Also joining us on the program, Dan Reichert. Hello, Dan.
Hello. When I reached out to Chef, I gave him just the loosest of information, saying that it's a podcast and we've got a couple food weirdos here that are on the show. So we'll let him discover things as the podcast goes forward. I'm sure he'll be in agreement with most of us.
Yeah. And by us, you mean me. Mike Minotti, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Yeah. Hey, who's the other food weirdo? I know we got Dan here. I'm confused.
Oh, it's Backlar and his beer stuff. You know, okay.
If you don't know who the food weirdo is, you are that weirdo. Jan Ochoa producing the show from behind the scenes. Thank you, Jan. Chef, I just want to get right down to it. First off, everyone, do yourself a favor. If you aren't already, please follow Chef Reactions everywhere. There is a place to follow. What is that? TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Where else, Chef?
Like Facebook if you're above 50, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that age is ticking up too, right? We're almost in like the 60 area. Yeah,
the only reason I'm on Facebook is just to thwart people stealing my shit on Facebook. That's literally the only reason why I'm on there. But yeah, on all platforms, as Chef Reactions, follow me. Most of them I have the little blue tick check mark thing, so you can tell that it's not a fake.
Your doppelganger, right?
It's
your shoot account.
I have to get right down to it. Okay. This is a voicemail show, to be clear. Okay. We'll get to the voicemails, but first, I just feel it's like my duty to sort of set the stage here for you just a little bit. And by that, I mean, you and I are surrounded right now by two of the most food illiterate people that I have ever come across in my entire life.
Really?
And it's not for me to say that they have bad taste, because without saying, but just their biases are so bewildering.
Okay.
I think it's fair to highlight that right at the top of the show, just so we set expectations, right? Just out of the gate for you here. Like, for instance, Dan, you care to tell Chef when it was the first time you ate lettuce?
31 maybe.
Date, like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Hold on a second. How old are you?
It could be late 20. Could be late 20s.
Okay.
You?
How old?
Late
are you,
20s.
Oh, right now I'm. I'll turn 40 in a couple months.
Okay. You mean to tell me you never tried any form of lettuce for the first 30 years of your life? Not once.
That is correct.
Not
yes.
Well, so not in a wrap, not in a.
Well, no. I ordered hamburgers and tacos and stuff constantly throughout my life, and I would just, like, every drive-thru I've ever been through, I've had to say, every cheeseburger is plain, everything that has lettuce on. I have to ask every item. Anytime there's like a new gimmick item somewhere, I'm like, what comes on that? And if they say, like, I've still never really had sour cream, or I've tried mayonnaise once or twice, so there's certain things. So what? I just got to.
In Dan's defense, lettuce is terrible. It's disgusting.
It's the most innocuous thing on the planet.
No, like it's water. Very strong taste. Water. I hate it.
So to show you that I'm an adult, I've tried it. First of all, it doesn't have a strong taste. And I now will frequently have lettuce. I rarely say no lettuce. So, and that is the thing. By the end of this, I do want the chef to say whether he thinks current day me or Minotti is weirder with food.
That's insane. What a simple task that is. Gross.
Well, no, don't. You can answer too at the end. But for the record, I eat lettuce now. I don't think it has a strong taste. I think it's totally fine. It's just wet plants on your food. I think I'd rather not have it, but I don't need to say no to it every time.
Yeah, I think I still won't eat anything if lettuce has touched it. I'll be honest.
If it's touched it?
Yeah, it leaves that like flavor there. It's gross.
Well, the residue, I'm like that with pickles. If pickles have been in the same room as something, obviously. Throw it in the garbage. Yeah,
obviously.
you guys are adults, right?
Like, yeah, I'm 40. 37. Like, okay. I'm not as much an adult as Dan. I'm practically a baby.
I'm sorry, so chef.
No, that's okay. It's all right. You know, I like to learn from other cultures.
And, Kansas,
Ohio.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so the lettuce thing is that's a thing for sure. Hit me with something else. This is a genuine reaction trademark. So hit me. I need more.
Mike, do you care to explain to the good chef about your apple situation?
Oh, what? Okay. I may have an apple phobia. I don't just dislike apples. I'm kind of afraid of them.
Chef.
Like,
you weren't expecting this. That's the thing.
They kind of scare me.
It's like real. Chef, to explain the severity of this, when I first met Mike a couple years ago, I wanted to do a bit when we were in person where it's like, I asked a friend of his who works here, like, hey, would it be a funny bit if I had someone bring in a big tray of apples and stuff? And Jeff's like, no, that would not be a funny bit. So it's a genuine phobia.
So like, are apples are to you as mustard is to Rake Yone from the Jackass movies? Do you remember that?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So is that kind of what you're getting at here? Like, yeah,
I don't want to be in the same room as an apple.
Okay. You mentioned mustard.
I mean, that's a little.
I can smell them. It's okay, very pungent. It's gross.
It's 2024, dude. Like, you can be in the same room as an apple.
I'm not that progressive.
Apples are too woke for Mike.
So what about it frightens you as
I'm worried that the juice is going to get on me,
man.
Yeah.
You're
like, they're just so wet. I'm worried it's going to get on me. And then I'm going to just like have that gross, tangy apple smell surround me for the rest of the
apples
day.
Apples don't smell, man.
Oh, they smell real bad. They smell so strong.
Like rotten ones?
No, just even the fresh ones. Even the normal clean apples. I don't like that smell.
Holy fuck. All right, next.
Listen, chef, I know maybe we went 0 to 60 real fast here. Real I'm fast. Sorry.
I'm getting the bends.
Dude, I'm with you, brother. Listen. These two, they're food freaks. There's nothing else I can say. No, people think it's a bit. They're like, oh, no one's really like that. I've spent a lot of time with these people in person, and this is exactly who they are.
I had to do the apples. Dan has to do either the eggs or the shoebox.
No, let me defend myself here because you mentioned mustard earlier. I've never really had mustard, but I can be in the room with it.
I like mustard.
That's growth.
Yeah, though I think I am more of an adult here.
No, you can pick. You got to tell me you're the egg whites or the shoebox. If I had to do apples,
let the chef decide.
Egg whites.
I'm glad you picked that one,
this
chef.
This is the one that's followed me.
Too. That was a big sigh before getting its egg whites. So I know I got to fucking strap in for this one.
It's followed me for a long time. I told this story first over a decade ago, but basically in college, 20 years ago, I've grown up. I was trying to eat healthier, and I heard that egg whites had a lot of protein and they're healthy. So I went to go make them, and I'm kind of afraid of stoves and stuff. And I don't really know. Just the propane situation, it seems just loosey goosey and like you're a second away from your house exploding at all times. But I braved it because I wanted to get a healthier diet. And so I got a carton of eggs, first time in my life. And I turn on the heat and I want the egg whites. So, and this is a honest to God, true story. I took the first egg, I crack it. I dump the entire contents in the sink in the garbage disposal, and I throw the shell in the pan. And I do that with 3 or 4 eggs because I heard that was a good amount. Now, in my defense, chef, what part of the egg is white? And so I got all these eggshells in the pan, and then I take they're like not melting. They're not looking edible. I've never seen an edible thing look like this. And so I take a spatula and I start trying to break them. And I called my mom. I'm like 20, 21 at this point. And I was like, mom, yeah, mom, I'm trying to make the egg whites, but the shells aren't melting. And she was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I said, I'm trying to make egg whites, but the shells, they look like shells in the pan. And she was like, Dan, you didn't just throw egg shells in a pan, did you? And the answer was yes. I thought they were the egg whites. So that's the egg story.
Okay. First of all, that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
It is. Thank you. Thank
respectfully,
you
like
worse than the apples.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. Like, I could see somebody being afraid of apples, but I cannot see a 21-year-old person.
College student.
Yeah. Okay, well, where which college was this again?
Yeah. University of Kansas.
Says a lot about that school.
Shout out University of Kansas.
Yep.
A 21-year-old college student thinking that the white of an egg is the shell because the color of a shell is white. Now, what if you had a brown egg?
That'd be egg browns.
That's a good joke.
We're not all chefs here. Like, I was just a college student. I wasn't an egg major. I was watching the cinema. I didn't know anything about eggs. You're a chef. You have a leg up on this. The logic was there. Was the logic not there?
No, it wasn't.
No, dude.
Dude, what an insult to the culinary arts by saying I'm not a chef.
I never claimed to be a chef.
Do you claim to be a fucking human, dude? Like,
yeah.
Like,
I know a lot about video games and wrestling.
Yeah, clearly. Like, the fact that that's okay. What's a shoebox? This is, dude, what? Like, am I getting punked right now?
No, chef. And that's the thing. Again, I tried to warn you. I did. I told you, I said, you got to have to buckle up. I said, look, this is the reality of working with these two.
The shoebox is less a culinary thing and more of a financial thing. Again, college. Oh. I'm probably like 22 or so at this point. It was in between. It was a summer. I was staying on campus and I didn't have a lot of money. And so paper plates, they cost a decent amount.
You're in college.
Yeah, like, I know. So I'm trying to stretch my money out as much as possible. So instead of buying a bunch of paper plates wastefully,
I know where this is going already.
Recording in progress.
The main thing I ate was, you know, those like Oscar Mayer hot dogs that have the cheese baked into the tube.
I'm not familiar with the product. No,
they're fucking awesome. You got to try them. But I basically survived a summer just off of the Oscar Mayer cheese dogs that I would just throw a couple of them in the shoebox and I'd put in the microwave, and it got kind of gross by the end of the summer. I would try to put paper towels in there and stuff.
Hold on a second. You kept using the same shoebox to do this over and over and over.
I'm not going to buy a bunch of shoeboxes. I'm trying to be fiscally responsible, chef.
You know what? I figured you had a couple.
Like, you think I buy multiple shoes?
Like a rotation of shoebox plates?
You're right. I thought you had more than one pair of shoes, but again,
no.
I have to put myself in the mindset of a 21-year-old man who didn't know what a fucking egg white was. So, okay, the one shoebox, they make sense. All right. Yeah.
So it's not that bad. I'm just being responsible.
You could have just washed it and kept using the plate.
I'm not trying to wash plates.
It's inexcusable. Okay, but be
clear. It's about you being a lazy, bad person, not about I was kind of poor.
Fiscally responsible.
No, it's a
college is expensive.
It's a demonstration of just like such psychotic behavior.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, what are you doing? I've heard that story like 3 or 4 times, and it just gets sicker. It just gets like sicker and more depraved every time I hear it, just because of like the sanitary implications and all the other shit around that.
I put paper towels in there.
Oh, dude, I can't even. Chef, we're not going to let you fall like this. We're not going to let you have to deal with Dan's stories the entire time.
I'll be real with you. I thought like at a certain point that story was going to lead to like, eventually you fucked the shoebox or something like that.
I'm not a deviant, my goodness.
That's a fair assumption, though. Like,
I'm just doing the math in my head.
Yeah. Like, oh, man. The egg whites, like, the shoebox is just, like, it's just gross in, like, a young man kind of, like, never.
You can imagine how I reacted to that apple pie scene, though, right?
Sure. In American Pie?
Yeah, gross.
Did you just like run out of the movie?
Yeah, gagged. That's not right.
You're trying to get someone arrested over that.
At least like a pecan pie or something normal.
That would be all scratchy, I think.
That would be terrible, wouldn't it?
Oh, okay. I got a pecan pie story.
Before we get into pecan pie, is a pecan pie the worst pie to fuck?
I smell a new video, chef.
Does that get especially hot, or is that usually served cold?
They're very hot, and it's all sugar. Most of them are sugar, but that one's especially just sugar goo with hard, scratchy pecans.
Let's assume at a baseline that all pies are room temperature.
Okay.
Then pecan pie is still low on the list.
Level the playing field somehow.
So we're trying to find the best one to have sex
either,
with.
Either worse. Or.
You know, I mean, there's no are good enough.
There aren't like pies with Tabasco in them, right? There's not like spicy pies.
Unless Drake made it for you. I don't know.
But I think Chef's right. I think apple is like the most forgiving.
I could see it.
I would never.
Unless there was ice cream on it, and that would kind of.
Then you have to live with yourself after that, knowing what you've done.
Apologies to your audience who may not have expected a question like this to come up.
No, they expected
par for the course.
No, no, they're good.
So definitely apple the worst, and like a jagged pecan pie would be
that'd be rough.
Jagged, like how's it jagged?
Because pecans
mean?
Are jagged. They're nuts.
They're hard. Yeah.
Although pretty soft as far as nuts go, right? Pecans are like way softer than a chestnut.
Are there chestnut pies?
I don't think so, Chef.
Chef?
we gotta yield to the
what
chef,
you're here for,
right?
Chef.
I can't tell if this is a fucking bit or not.
No, right?
I'm trying to figure it out.
Look, a lot of questions get asked on the voicemail dump truck.
All right, okay, all right. Let's hear the pecan pie story.
It's a quick one. So I worked at a magazine called Game Informer, and fans would send stuff in sometimes, and somebody sent me, I think I made a joke about a pecan pie or something. They sent me a whole pecan pie, like a big pecan pie. And I can't remember if I ate the whole thing or most of it, because like I had no idea. I'd never had a pecan pie before, and I took a bite, and I was like, oh, that's actually really good. And I just had no idea the caloric implications or the sugar content. So I ate like damn near an entire pecan pie by myself in like a half hour. And then we went down to record a video, and my boss looked over at me and he's like, what the fuck is happening to you? I was like sweating profusely. I was like turning white. I was super lightheaded, and we had to like cancel the video recording, 'cause I just like a pecan pie fucked me up.
That's insane. you don't strike me as the type that's too concerned with caloric intakes and like macros and shit like that. And I only mean that because like I would assume somebody would know what the fucking egg white was if they were like into nutrition.
I think I'm better now. Like I'm training for a half marathon. Okay. So it's like I know I'm supposed to do more carbs for endurance. Right. It's less of a protein thing. I'm not trying to build mass. I'm trying to have endurance. So I'm, you know, a lot more fruits and things like that. So I'm better now. I'm more of an adult now.
I'm big enough to admit when I was wrong.
You know, like, where's the needle? Wrong? Who's weirder? Who's looking weirder now?
We're split right down the middle currently. Still
okay.
Yeah. Well. Let's revisit that question at the end of this.
Okay. Fair enough.
And then I'll be able to tell.
Okay.
Yes, we should revisit that. We should actually revisit that every week, as far as I'm concerned. But that's fine. Chef, I don't know if you can tell, but this is a voicemail call-in show. Yeah, crazy. Turns out that's what we do here. We do have a list of voicemails. I believe we supplied you with that list. I would love for you to have first crack at choosing today's very first voicemail.
Well, you know what? I already know which one I want to do it, and I brought it up when it first came on. The N-O-K-I, Noki.
Oh!
What's up, Thumpers? Love you all. Please have Chef Reactions tell Mike Minotti how to pronounce gnocchi. It is not gnocchi. It's gnocchi.
Oh. Correct.
I love you guys. I love you, Mike. Please stop saying gnocchi. Bye.
Also, who spelled it right before we went live?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
who's
job.
The adult now? Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Relax. it is, in fact, gnocchi. It is not gnocchi.
Turns out
I'm a little soft on the G. Give me a little bit of slack. Come on.
And you have Italian heritage?
Yeah, so and honestly, my dad, who's in his dad, like came from Italy, he always just says gnocchi. He just says straight up gnocchi and like gives me crap for kind of being too fancy saying even gnocchi. So I mean, I don't, you guys, all your little teacups over there really getting into that G, you have fun. I don't know.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, who gives a fuck how people pronounce things, right? Like
it
there's bigger things to worry about. Although I will tell a quick story. My wife and I were in Montreal having dinner last year, and we were sitting down, and we had the gnocchi, and the table next to us was on their first date, and this guy kept referring to it as the gnocchi, and my wife and I would do that thing where you like you catch eyes with your partner, you know what I mean, and you're just like, you want to, because we were so close to this table that like if I said anything, I would have been overheard. So I just kept like boring a hole into the back of her skull through her eyes just every time he said the word Noki. So that's my Noki story. So yeah, at the end of the day, look, whatever floats your boat, my man. Say it however you want to say it.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Chef.
I've gotten shit in the past for how I pronounce the pasta dish. Now I'm gonna try my best to say it how I've said it. It's cacio e pipi.
Mm. Nah, okay. You're fucking with me.
Come on. No, not pipi. Pepe. Cacio e pepe.
Pepe's the frog.
It's probably not pipi.
You're not. Nah,
it's just
cacio e. Is the e like the Spanish and?
No,
you're trying to be cute now.
I'm not.
That's what you're doing.
See, no,
my wife has heard me say this, and she's been like, "That's not how you say that,
Chef." It's like I know you people. The question we get asked most about Dan is this a bit? And I can honestly tell you, as someone who's known him for like 10 years, it is not. This is who this person is. He survived this entire time inexplicably. Yeah.
Well, Chef, can you teach me, like, how do you pronounce it? And I'll try to remember this.
I'm
the cacio e pipi thing. I know that's not right. I'm trying to learn as an adult.
Oh.
You know what? It's fine. I'm gonna start calling it cacio e pipi.
All right. I look forward to that video on Instagram.
What do you think those two words are in English, Dan?
Yeah.
Cacio. What does that sound like? Is it like
like Manny Pacquiao?
Yeah, he's gonna fight the big show at WrestleMania.
Is it cheese and peas?
You got half of it.
Yeah.
Which part? But
the cheese part. Pepe. It's Pepe because
pepper.
Pepper.
Cheese and pepper.
Pepper. Just remember pepper. Pepe.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
How do you say it?
It's not pee-pee, bud.
Like pepper. Pepe.
Pepe. Pepe.
Pepe. Yeah, cacio pepe.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
You gotta
we're learning.
Proud.
We're learning. It's an educational podcast.
This is
podcast.
Fucking great. This is great.
There's so much growth on this episode. We've done a year's worth of it.
I feel like this is how people feel like when they go on a safari.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, idiots in the wild for sure.
Watching you guys pick the fucking lice off each other.
Yes. Like, oh, notice that. What an idiot. all right, Mike. Why don't you go, please? Pick the next one.
Yeah, I'll go with most likely to win.
What's up, Dump Truck crew, and welcome to the program, Chef. Just got a question for you guys. Wondering if you had to enter in a food eating contest and had to eat as much of a food as you could in a certain amount of time, what food would you eat that you'd be most likely to win? Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you, Chef.
Macaroni and cheese.
You already filled an entire bathtub with macaroni and cheese and ended up breaking your finger because of it.
Yeah, that's Chef. I have a broken finger right now because of a bathtub full of macaroni and cheese. But that's another thing.
This is a recent thing. Like when somebody
November.
Says something like that, like I assume that's like when you were like 19 or 20.
Yeah. No,
you
know
what
I mean? Well, it was late 2023, and sure. It still broke
sense.
To hell. Yeah. No, but I stand by
anymore.
That. Like,
yeah.
It's an easy thing to eat. It's not. I struggle like swallowing like stringy like meats and stuff like that. So like macaroni and cheese just goes down super easy. You can't really choke on it. So I would definitely. I could. Yeah, go to town on macaroni and cheese.
Okay. All right. I mean, I don't think I'd do well at any eating contest at this stage in my life. Like I'm so washed when it comes to eating now. Like I would much rather graze than gorge. Now
at
this point, like I could nibble, you know what I mean? And I could definitely eat a nice full meal, but I couldn't do a food eating, like I couldn't do a competitive eating contest. I couldn't do it.
In the day, like me and my friends, like in high school, would go to a wing place that did like all you can eat wings. Yeah, and back then we could like do 100 easy.
For sure.
But 100%. No, my stomach doesn't work like that anymore. There's nothing I can do now. Yeah, I'll just get sick and hurt.
It would have been wings. It would have been wings. Yeah. Straight flats. Cause you can just peel and go.
Yeah,
and just do your thing. That would have been the move.
You could get different flavors, so you keep it interesting, right?
Yeah, dips. You can dip it in like some blue cheese or something. Or something.
Oh, Dan's anti blue cheese. I'm very pro blue cheese.
Ranch, good. Blue cheese, bad.
No, for wings, it's blue cheese. Come on, right, Chef?
They're both good.
For wings, it's blue cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Why? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Of course it is. I mean, come on.
I think Joey Diaz used to say it's blue cheese or go fuck yourself.
I like that.
Where's the live by?
By that? I think that's a proper gentlemanly answer. I think. Yeah. The better question, because competitive food eating right now at our age is just like psychotic. I think. Yeah. Like there was a pizza place near me where I grew up called Pete and Elda's that you could eat a whole extra, extra large pizza and they would give you a cool t-shirt. Mm. And I did that like maybe 6 or 7 times in high school. And like just the idea of even attempting it now is like horrifying. Like maybe 4 slices I could do. And that's super thin crust too.
I feel like after 35, it's less of a competitive eating competition and more of a competitive don't shit yourself competition.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're only competing with yourself.
Exactly.
Chef, another one from the college archives here and on the topic of macaroni. I liked Kraft macaroni and cheese so much, and I love the cheese dust so much that I bought 3 boxes of Kraft macaroni and cheese because it was pretty cheap. Again, fiscally responsible college student. And I made 1 pot of macaroni and cheese, but I used 3 of the full packets of the dust.
Just one pot of the, just one packet
correct.
Of
I threw the, away the rest of the pasta. Macaroni. Yep, all
you
the...
threw it away.
He's fiscally responsible, remember.
What am I going to do with it when the dust is gone? You know,
no, it's garbage. Like, you're right, it's garbage.
You can't cook elbow macaroni for any other reason.
No way.
I can't.
Butter doesn't exist. Nothing exists.
Nothing exists. But,
I would not have been able to do that, but I did go to the bar. What's that?
I thought you were going to say that you like chopped them up with a credit card and like blew rails of the fucking
dude.
No.
In another life, that
I
is
wasn't a fool.
For sure.
No, I did go to the bar that night, though, like an hour after I ate it. And I just threw up like Nickelodeon orange just all over the bar floor.
Yeah, no, that tracks. As
yeah,
they say.
I didn't do it anymore after that.
It's just like it's
you
just
fucked
so
around
stupid.
And you found out.
I did quickly, yeah. And I stopped. Yeah. I learned again. I learned.
Well, that's good. At least you learned from it. That's good.
Yeah,
It's so dumb.
Another
right?
point for me.
You're just like, wow, it's so dumb. Imagine someone who just never learns from any of their mistakes.
It's
over
crazy
and
because
over.
Like you seem like a fairly intelligent person.
You hear that? I'm gonna put that on my soundboard.
You're coherent. You are eloquent when you speak, yet all these other things lead me to think that maybe that I misjudged you.
Again, you get me in the right lane. You get me in video games and get me in wrestling and I'm fully lucid and coherent. Okay. And then other things, maybe, you know, I don't have as many skill points put into those.
In the real world.
Is oh, yeah. It's,
yeah, but I've avoided that my entire life and career. So it's right. It's worked out.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like. It's like got a perfectly fine brain, but there's like it's like a weird part of it that's just sort of not there. Like it's just like a vacuum.
It's like a Phineas Gage situation.
There's just
it's
like a part of
misfiring.
Yeah, it's just you know it's shooting blanks, and I don't know what that's about. And science has not caught up with whatever is wrong with Dan yet, and we're all right. And
I'm having a good time.
Yeah, you're having a good time, as far as you know.
The flip side of that argument is he may be super evolved, and we may be.
We're all gonna catch up. We're all going to find out there's like a lot of benefits to eating our food out of shoe boxes.
Yeah.
It's like, what was the phenomenon? What was the Travolta movie where he had the thing on his brain and everyone's like, how's he like magic? And then it turns out he had like a thing on his brain and it
like
unlocked
a tumor?
Parts.
What was
I think that was because remember there's Michael and there was Phenomenon. Michael, he was an angel. Jeez. Phenomenon, he had a like brain tumor that like unlocked parts of his brain.
Chef, keep in mind that he knows this movie, but hasn't seen Hook.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I was thinking that too. You referenced... Michael?
I was watching movies for adults, even as a child. I was too advanced.
No adults wanted to watch those shitty movies.
They weren't good. They weren't good. I was just a big Travolta fan.
Yeah, we had
Face Off, right?
Of course.
Okay. Of course, yeah, we had Face Off.
Okay, good. I played it at my wedding twice.
The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 is a great one, too, actually.
Is that Carpenter? No, I'm thinking of Assault on Precinct 13. I haven't seen Pelham.
Oh, those number movies.
Him and Denzel. That was a good one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't encourage him, please. I mean... Just,
better than that garbage phenomenon.
We were talking in the pre-show before we went live that Dan like did not understand Peter Pan media, or he.
No,
just
I just realized
like
I haven't seen any Peter Pan thing. I've never seen the cartoon.
Yeah,
or
I was
the
like,
movie
well, you must
or...
have seen Hook. And you're like, no, I saw the trailer as like a 6-year-old and thought it was lame. I was like, what?
Doesn't track, man. I mean, I guess you were more interested in like Terminator at 6 years old, inexplicably.
Yes, 1000% Terminator, Jaws, Rocky, Rambo, like yeah. Commando.
Yeah, those are all good movies, and then you throw in fucking Phenomenon.
Like, no, I'm not defending Phenomenon. I was just bringing it up as a reference. On Letterboxd, I probably have it. It's like a 2 out of 5. It's like it's like Powder. It's like in that category, I think. You know,
cheese powder
of shit movies. Yeah, like
yeah it's not great. Yeah, I'm not defending
you.
It.
You understand it's 2024. Like you could rectify it today. Like as soon as we're done this,
I have no interest in Hook.
Why? It's good. It's Robin Williams. It's Steven Spielberg. It's good.
He's running around singing songs with pirates. Does not sound interesting.
It's not a musical. You psychopath.
No I thought it was a musical.
Dude, wait, okay. Wait. You've like played along when we do the Rufio thing. You like know. You pretend. You
what
pretend
Rufio
to know what that
thing?
Is.
What the fuck are you talking
okay,
about?
All right. Maybe I got that wrong. I thought you played along
Dan,
with Rufio.
You're hurting me, man.
Yeah.
What is the Rufio thing?
Chime in. Dude, Rufio, he's the leader of the Lost Boys.
Rufio! You know,
pick the next voice back. I watched The Lost Boys, the movie, with Kiefer Sutherland.
No, okay, stop it.
I mean, I like that movie, but...
Yeah, I had cool taste as a kid.
Oh, he's the king of misdirection, Chef. Forgive him.
And misinformation. Like, this whole time, he's like living a lie, thinking that a fucking Hook is a musical.
Yeah, I was just wrong about that, apparently.
Fucking flat earther of movies.
Exactly. Oh, that's so spot on. Oh, that feels so good to someone. Oh, hear someone say that. Oh, I'm eating this episode up.
I've seen Waterworld numerous times. That's a seafaring movie for adults.
That's a good movie.
Gentlemen, it's been great.
In the last month.
Jeff,
YouTube,
sorry, Jeff.
Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, at Chef Reactions, twitch.tv/Chef Reactions.
Waterworld's pretty good.
I didn't show you my Arby's hat yet, Chef, please.
Oh, yeah.
You have an
Can you
Arby's
sign
hat?
My Arby's hat?
Yeah, I'll show you. Yeah. Arby sent it to me.
Oh, my God.
Wait a second. Is there an Arby's miniature set behind you?
Don't worry about that.
Oh, my God. Is that for real? Oh, God.
There we go.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my, I've not seen this. What the fuck, Mike? What's
Arby's
happening?
Started near me. Arby's started in Borman, Ohio, which is the town over. I talk about Arby's a lot and stuff. So they sent me this in some sweatpants and a sweatshirt that looks like deli meats. Because, you know, they have the meats there at Arby's. What do you think of Arby's, Chef?
I actually don't mind Arby's.
Yeah.
I don't mind it at all.
Thoughts on Taco Bell? I got married there.
Yeah, that tracks. I like Taco Bell. I don't mind Taco Bell. Like, keep in mind, I was a professional chef, right? And like, I hated cooking for myself. I love cooking for other people, hated cooking for myself. So after I worked 10, 12, 14 hours, I would just grab drive-thru on the way home because I wasn't going to go home and fucking cook for myself. Absolutely not. So right. Taco Bell, Arby's, McDonald's, Wendy's, like, I love fast food.
We're not so different.
Yeah, no, but we are though. We are. Oh,
demonstrated. We have demonstrated how far apart.
100% we are.
Don't get it twisted. Oh my God.
That hat's pretty fucking sweet though. It's like a Pharrell hat.
Yeah. It feels good wearing it.
I think I want you wearing that from here on.
All right,
on
I'll
out.
Keep it on.
All right, Dan. I guess it's your turn.
Let's go with mayonnaise.mp3.
Oh boy.
Hey, 3 AM boys. So Dan says he doesn't like mayonnaise. He has said this over and over again, but then he also loves Taco Bell. Can Chef Reacts explain to Dan that mayonnaise is the base of like every Taco Bell sauce?
Don't ruin this for me.
Okay. First of all, it's Chef Reactions. It's not Chef Reacts. Thank you very much.
Get it straight.
I didn't know. Is that true that mayonnaise is the base for?
No way.
Yeah, it can't be.
It's
it can't
probably
fire
the
sauce.
It's probably the base of that spicy ranch that you like.
Yeah,
that's what I love. Spicy that's what ranch.
The base would be ranch.
Yeah,
but mayo's in ranch, right? Usually.
No
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Well, that's sour cream. Usually.
Sour cream.
No.
Buttermilk.
Oh, that. No, you know what it is, Chef? It's also like the whole dairy thing. Like he thinks he's somehow skirting around dairy at all times.
No, I don't. Cheese is my favorite thing in the world. What are you talking
like,
about?
No, but I'm just saying, like you are always very unaware of like its existence. Remember the whole butter thing, right? You were
not really
your butter.
Yeah.
I don't know where it comes from. Thing? I don't really know where butter comes from.
Why? Look, why is everything fucking like? It's like it's the butter thing. The fucking
because it's a thing.
The grape situation.
He's a sitcom character. He's just a character from Seinfeld.
The fucking cranberry conundrum. Like, what?
Why is it always... Hang on. Don't ruin like Taco Bell for me.
Cuban Missile Crisis. Like, it's always something.
It's that level of controversy.
Don't ruin Taco Bell for me, because like there was a time my mom made me a bunch of macaroni and cheese and I absolutely loved it. And she gave me a bunch of different packs of it, like freeze dried to put in the freezer. And I was like, Mom, this is the best macaroni and cheese I've ever had. And then she told me like, oh, I'm surprised because there was some sour cream in that. And once I knew that, I couldn't unknow it. So I threw away all of it.
That's weak. Okay. That's weak.
So like, I don't want to get ruined for Taco Bell. There's no way mayo is anywhere in that building.
I have no idea. Taco Bell is one of those things where it's like, I don't want to go to the slaughterhouse. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Same.
I just give it to me. It's
yeah. Okay.
I like cool. it. I don't need to know how it's made. I prefer to not know how it's made, actually.
Same.
I go out of my way to not learn anything about it.
Yeah. Those are good blinders to have, right?
Yeah. I think. Not so different.
No, again, you can't keep like slotting yourself in the same category as me or Chef, I'm going to say.
So he's got an NBA Jam cabinet. He likes wrestling. I mean, it seems like he likes Taco Bell. I'm just looking at a mirror here.
Don't let him do this. Don't let him buddy up. I'm just saying. Look,
I'll never forget the shoebox and the egg thing. Like, that shit I'll take with me for the rest of my life.
That's how he gets you.
He's going to forget that I have a weird thing with apples, but he's going to be on his deathbed.
You're on deck. You're on deck.
Don't worry. Your freak flag is seen.
Talking about
for sure.
Fucking wet apples. Like, what?
He has a fruit phobia, but he's fine with having Dole Whip at Disney World because that's Disney fruit.
Dude, Dole Whip is delicious. That's 10 out of 10.
But that's like a weak excuse to like, oh, fruit's fine if it's Disney fruit.
Well, if it's like
it's not real fruit, it's a powdered mix that they use.
Oh, Chef's on my side.
Is it not like ground down from like real like shoot fruit?
No. Nah, the shoot fruit. Nah, they don't That's fucking good, actually. I like that.
No.
We got him.
I'm a sucker for a good rhyme, though. You know, it really gets me. A good rhyme, a good onomatopoeia, like all those things really get me.
I love when it's Halloween time and I get the shoot fruit brute.
Look, okay, all right. You just
don't press your luck.
At a certain point, you got to take your foot off the gas. The Dole Whip thing is, they would never. Disney's about making money. They're using powdered product.
Real fruit's expensive.
A really good powdered product. P.S. If anyone out there has a Ninja Creamy, you can buy the Dole Whip shit on Amazon and make it yourself at home, and it's just as good.
Jeff Grubb definitely has a Ninja Creamy, and he's been talking about it a lot. And I think he's going to try that. I'll make a Dole Whip for me.
So to answer that that voicemail to bring it on home. I don't fucking know. Maybe there is mayo in those things. Maybe there isn't. But I prefer not to take a peek behind the curtain.
I like that answer.
Yeah. Dan, Taco Bell's not going to get ruined for you. What do you mean? Like,
that it was like the base of the sauce was like sour cream or mayonnaise, that would fuck me up.
What sauce? What are you talking about?
Like, main thing is the quesadilla. So there is that like jalapeno sauce. So,
There's cream.
It's like, it's like creamy.
Sure.
Dude. But why is mayo?
I don't know if it is.
It's
just
eggs.
Trying to fuck with your head.
Isn't Chef right? Mayo is just like eggs and oil, right?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
That doesn't sound bad.
So why do you have such an inversion to?
It's just eggs and oil.
Yeah, just
it's
blend
just
it all
eggs
up.
And oil and like lemon juice. That's all mayo is. Why do you hate it so much?
I like all those ingredients. Well, when I went to Subway,
no one says
I
like
say,
oil, but okay.
Do you have a general adversity to like jizz adjacent foods?
No, I think it's a general condiment thing. I don't think it's like a color thing. It's like, it's like there is like a texture element. Like I won't have caramelized onions or mushrooms and things like that. So it's just kind of like the slippery like texture and then like condiment stuff. Like,
apple, for example.
Yeah.
I barely had ketchup.
Do you like relish?
I've never had it.
Get the fuck out of here. Relish is very pickle adjacent.
Yourself,
you wouldn't like it, Dan. We don't want relish.
I've had maybe a shot glass full of ketchup in my life. I think
a shot glass full of ketchup.
Yeah, cumulative. I barely tried mustard. I would say way less than a shot glass of sour cream, mayo.
You got a lot of barbecue sauce, though.
Cumulative
ultimate,
in your entire life.
Correct.
That's insane.
And I've only tried ketchup on McDonald's French fries because there was free and I could just like do that. And there was no like, because I don't want to order something and pay for it and be like, I hate this.
Because you're cost conscious. You're a very frugal individual that threw out two boxes of fucking mac and cheese.
$1 each. It was worth it to make triple good macaroni and cheese. That was fun
because they had to be thrown out.
Yes.
I don't, Chef, I genuinely don't think I knew about the ketchup thing. Like,
I tried it on a few McDonald's French fries and like a couple times in my life. I've never had it on a hot dog. I've never had it on a burger. I've never had mustard on a hot dog or a burger. The only things I've ever had on a hot dog are chili and cheese. Only things I've ever had on a burger are like bacon and barbecue sauce.
Yeah, so barbecue sauce is the ultimate like baby mouth condiment. We all like barbecue.
And I'm from Kansas City, so like, yeah, barbecue sauce, like, yeah, easy. But even then, I didn't try it until I was like 25. So,
but I'm surprised by the ketchup because it's like all sugar too. Like, and you love sweet sugar bullshit. Like,
guess what? Till 25 in Kansas City. Yeah, dude, that's like being a fucking Rome, and you're like, I never tried pasta before in my life.
I like the meat. I would have the barbecue meat. That was great, but I never. It's like once I went back after college to Kansas City, and I was open minded about the barbecue sauce. I was like, holy shit, I could have been having this my entire life. And now, like KC Joe's and stuff, like some of my absolute favorite food. Like I get it dry ice shipped to me and all that shit. Like it's the best thing.
Barbecue sauce. He's really like you had to go like on a fucking ayahuasca trip and like come back and like, like I'm ready now. I'm ready to try. Barbecue sauce at age 25. This is hilarious. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Next
I mean, look,
message.
No, you're right. It's just, it's so psychotic. I'm going to choose the next one just because I can't anymore with this guy. Let's do grapejelly.mp3.
What is up? So I had a coworker who was probably high off his mind that told me their favorite thing to eat was a peanut butter and jelly. Grape jelly, cheese, and sriracha grilled cheese sandwich. Tried it once, and it was fucking amazing. What is the most fucked up concoction that you tried that you think is pretty damn good? Mm. Thanks.
Well, Dan is kind of famous for forcing people to eat Oreos dipped in nacho cheese.
That's correct. It is very good.
What, forcing people?
Yeah. When I have parties and stuff, like I had a New Year's party here, and I just right up front, here's a tray of Oreos, here's a thing of Tostitos nacho cheese, and I have everyone try it. I've done it at like live events where we've had fans come, and everyone, I would say at least 95% begrudgingly is like, it's pretty good.
Have you tried it?
I would try it.
It's better than you think.
I would try it. Like whenever I say. Like if you guys have seen my videos, when I say that I would try something at the end, that's not bullshit. That's like my morbid curiosity would make me try once because I know the worst the thing that could happen to me is that I won't like it.
Right. Exactly. Right?
So you could have taken that advice with like lettuce. You know,
and I did. I tried it and it's fine.
You spit it out violently.
At 30, you tried it at 30 years old.
Yeah, the last 10 years have been a real decade of growth for me.
Literally, are you growing your own lettuce? Is that what's happening?
I wouldn't know step one.
Oh, no. You should get into gardening, Dan. That'd be an incredible evolution.
That's a whole thing. I don't know where anything comes from. I don't know what's in the ground and what's on trees. And it's just.
What do you mean? Okay.
No, don't, Mike. What?
Bananas. Do you think that bananas grow from the ground or are they in trees?
I mean, I just go by if I've seen it in Animal Crossing.
Answer the question.
I've seen banana trees in Animal Crossing, so I do think bananas grow in trees.
Very okay. good, Dan. Good. Very
Thank
nice.
You. Thank you. My potatoes? Whole family was farmers and grocers, by the way.
Potatoes, right. real quick, one more.
So
potatoes,
how did you know?
Ground or
vines?
Trees.
Did they throw fucking produce at you when you were young? And that's why you're like averse to like eating shit?
He's got lettuce trauma.
Yeah, vines. Just fucking throwing heads of lettuce at you.
Wait, talk more
fucking
about these
loser. And they're throwing heads of lettuce at you, and now every time you go into the fucking grocery store, you're just like cower.
No, I mean, I just didn't know this stuff. Like, all I ever had growing up was like McDonald's and Taco Bell. So it's like that was like my whole thing. And Tostitos, party pizzas.
We get it. Yeah, it's easy to paint that picture. Fill in the blanks there. It's easy. What about talk more about your potato vines?
The fact that you're saying that makes me think I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe they aren't growing off.
Maybe I don't know where potatoes come from. You're a vegetable. So they come from the earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ground. I've seen like potato field stalks.
Yeah, like
corn. All right, am I close on any of these? I'm getting nothing.
They grow out of corn stalks.
I don't believe that.
Why don't you research that one or your Dan? Hey, Michael, we had that We had that lobster roll that had that salty caramel sauce recently. That was kind of maybe a weird combination, but that was amazing, right?
Was it? It was good.
It was really good.
We had it up in Boston a month ago.
Really?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was real good, and it was also Mike's first taste of lobster.
No, lobster roll. I've had lobster.
Oh, your first lobster roll. Okay.
I'm good. People are always shocked that I like seafood because I'm so picky about other things. But like shellfish specifically, I do like a lot. I just never had a lobster roll before, though. So when the guy was like really excited about his salty caramel lobster roll that they were serving,
and that's
there.
That's the first one that you'd ever tried was with caramel on it.
Yeah. You know, and it wasn't a mayo one. I'm not like Dan. I'm not like incredibly gross out about mayo, but like,
sure,
just like plain mayo is a little off-putting to me, so I wouldn't want a super mayo-y lobster roll. I definitely want a buttery one.
Okay. But it was certainly like the buttery lobster, traditional kind of lobster roll you think of, especially you know, like an East Coast one, I guess.
It's interesting. I would try it.
Yeah, it was harder delicious. Than it wasn't overpowering. It was really nice.
It's harder than you would expect to Google where potatoes come from, because it just keeps telling me Peru and South America. I want to know like the ground or tree situation.
You go to Google where are potatoes from, and Google's like, are you sure, dude? Like,
I literally Googled where do potatoes come from, and it's just telling me like Bolivia.
It's like Idaho.
Idaho, right? Yeah.
The Incas started cultivating them?
Even Google can't believe you're this stupid.
I'm just going to image search potato.
Google just comes back.
They're on the ground.
One page of just, really?
They're on the ground. I image search and they're all on the ground. They come from the ground.
We did it.
Hey, you learn something new every single day, huh?
Or, fresh.
Yeah. Or if you're Dan, it's like 12 to 13,000 things.
It's fine. You know, I'm almost a little jealous that you're able to live your life in such a manner that makes you like just not experience these things and be able to experience them for the first time if you ever choose to experience them.
It is kind of fun because I think a lot of people, by the time they're my age, they're like, I've tried it, been there, tried that. And like me, I'm frequently.
Most people, by the time they are adults. Yeah.
I get constant wonder throughout my days, and I feel better for it.
I'm not mad at it. I'm a big proponent of kind of living your best life, for
totally
lack of a better term.
Yeah. Like,
just fucking do whatever makes you happy, you know?
Absolutely.
I'll crack jokes, but you want to eat eggshells, fucking eat eggshells, right? Like,
he doesn't know what he wants. He doesn't want the only eggshells.
Chef, you're 100% right, and I support that like mentality. The problem with Dan is that Dan just doesn't like retain shit though. Sometimes, right? Like, that's the problem. It kind of goes in one ear out the other, and then you're sort of like, we got to do this bullshit.
We'll ask him next year where potatoes come from. He's gonna say vines again.
Ask me tomorrow, when I won't know.
Yeah.
That's fair too. We're all of a certain age where that starts happening. But again, from my limited interactions, I feel like it's kind of a pattern.
Never had to retain this information for any reason, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, why would anybody need to know that potatoes grow in the ground?
Right.
Yeah,
I agree.
What useless knowledge. Yeah, totally.
It is.
We're all
in agreement. These basic things are pointless to know. 100%. I went to chat for the next voicemail. Chat chose in a TJ Maxx.
What's up, Dumpers? Currently in a TJ Maxx. Got a question for you. I need a new cooking pan. Someone please tell me what type of cooking pan I should buy. I'm not looking to spend $1 billion. I just want a decent cooking pan that I can make dishes with. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Well,
that's easy.
I mean, stainless steel to go to, right?
That's the easiest answer. If you don't want to spend a lot of money, go to your local restaurant store, buy any stainless steel frying pan.
I was right. Stainless steel, Chef, and I agree.
You can get one for $20. Like, you could go and buy a Hexclad for $150, $200 if you got it like that, but you don't need to.
Was cast iron a fad, Chef? Are we a little bit past the cast iron thing?
It was cast iron a fad. I literally know people with cast iron pots that are like hundreds of years old. No, it's not a fad. It was literally a marvel of technological advancement.
I think everybody was like a little too high and proud of cast iron like a couple years ago. Like everybody.
Horseshoes.
Like,
were those a fad?
Yeah, Mike. famously disposable cast iron grills. Like,
look, I like cast iron, but for a little bit, everyone's like, that's the only thing to cook in. If it's not a cast iron, it's shit.
Mike, you're saying ridiculous things.
I'm sorry, man. You're right. Shut the fuck up, man.
Man, so no, that actually, I'm very interested to hear your answer, because I feel like I got a little bit with like the fancy pans and whatnot.
Probably.
I'm just
good. Like, you get what you pay for in a lot of instances. Like, I'm fortunate enough that, like, because I make stupid videos on the internet, like, brands will send me some free shit every now and then, right?
All right, sure.
I got some hex clad pans, which they're very good. They're very, very good. I enjoy using them, but they're fucking like $150, $200 for like a frying pan. Like, it ain't cheap, right? So
yeah.
I know, I've worked in plenty of restaurants where I know I can bang around a $20 frying pan from the restaurant supply store, like literally any restaurant supply store in any city. And I know those things will be just as good, if not better, than an expensive pan down the road. So it's more up to your own preferences, but you don't need anything super expensive. You can if you want to, but you don't need to.
I think people get caught up in like the non-stick marketing.
Sure.
I think everyone's like, I want to do the least amount of cleaning. And if this magic ceramic pan somehow like deflects any and everything, like I'm down.
I do think everybody should have a non-stick pan as well, but you don't like, that's any Teflon coated non-stick pan, right? Like, it doesn't have to be that could be a $30 pan too, right? Like, it doesn't have to be expensive. The whole thing is you just have to take care of them, wash them properly, dry them properly, still use oil or butter in the pan. Like, a lot of people think just because you have a nonstick pan, you can just fucking pop an egg in there and it's going to slide right out. Is not the case. Mm. You still need to have some sort of fat to lubricate the process. But fuck, I went real dorky there for a second.
They showed those like copper ones and it's like, watch this egg just slide
around.
They're
pretty good too, actually. They're not bad, right? Like, they're my grandma's got one upstairs. She's got one of those copper pans that she swears by. It's personal preference. It's what you can afford, but also you don't need to kind of get sucked into the marketing and all the keeping up with the Joneses of you got to get this. It's the newest shit, whatever.
Right. Just I agree.
Buy a $20 one.
I agree. Yeah. The cast iron is a fad. Thank you.
Question for you, because I really do want to learn how to cook and stuff. And that's a genuine question. The only times I've tried to cook anything in like the last decade or so have been when like I've had a sponsorship with like a HelloFresh thing or something. And it's like, all right, well, this is a great excuse for like, they give you all the stuff. They tell you step by step how to do it. And I've done it a few times, but every time I've tried it, I've been surprised by how it's turned out. Like, I've done it pretty well overall. But the thing that gets me every time is when you have to like put the oil in the pan at a certain heat, and I am following things line by line because I don't want to fuck this up. Right. And there's always the point where I put the food in and then all of a sudden just the oil is flying up in my fucking face and all over my hands and it's hot as hell. And I've heard like you can put salt on the oil. You can do all, like, how do I stop it from just like flying everywhere as soon as I put like a thing of chicken in there?
Well, you can pat it dry with a paper towel to make sure there's very little moisture on the outside of it. Any, you know, water and oil don't mix. So if you put water into hot oil, you're going to get splatter. So the moisture in and around the chicken is going to give you a little bit of splatter regardless, but patting down any proteins that may be wet with a paper towel, that'll eliminate some of it. And then also when you're putting something in your frying pan, you drop it away from your body. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
So like let's say you have a steak, right? Let's say you have like a New York strip steak. You would do like, and it's hanging right here. I'm going to use this pen as an example, right? So you would like put this part on the bottom and then lay it away from you.
Interesting.
If any oil does splatter, it would splatter away from you.
Okay. And you know, I've heard that phrase like oil and water don't mix a lot of times, but I don't think I ever thought about what that meant. Is that referring to like even like olive oil and stuff?
Jesus Christ.
Dude, I know.
Well, there's like car oil. That's not the same as olive oil.
Oh my God. Not to mention, I saw you feverishly Googling New York strip steak.
No. You're doing so well, Dan.
Wait, the
Dan,
oil and
really,
water thing.
Dan, you sounded like, so real for a minute.
But you understand that like oil, like there is oil like in the ground, like Beverly Hillbilly stuff. And then there's olive oil. And then there's like, is that all not good with water?
Oh,
I don't know what I heard that phrase. So I don't know what it means. And I did not consider that as part of the cooking world.
I'm not losing. I'm not losing today.
Science. Like it's
oh my God.
But when they say, what does that mean? Does so that mean good. It explodes? Does that mean like, what does, if you just had to define that phrase, oil and water don't mix, what is that referring to? Like you can't mix them up and then it's like
they
one.
They don't mix. They will separate automatically.
You cannot emulsify one into the other. So meaning you cannot take those two items and make any sort of homogenous mixture, meaning that you combine them two into one without them splitting because they do not combine on a molecular level.
You get that, Dan?
No, well, we have like a
the thing it says, the thing he said, they don't mix. That's
but what does
answer.
That lead to? That? Why does that lead to explosions if they touch each other in a pan?
Because the water isn't going into the oil, so it gets super hot and then just shoots out of the oil and onto
oh,
you.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
Correct. Oh, wow. I just saw a light bulb go off in your head.
Well,
that
no, it's like it's like magnets that don't like want to be next to each other.
I'm okay. Going to put it into terms that I think you can understand. Okay. Have you seen Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Yes.
Oh, I love
it. Oh, the stuff, the bomb,
yes.
The thing. That...
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You finally spoke in language he can understand.
Well, you're saying if I put oil and water in, like we have a decent blender up there, like they're just not going to be.
If you put both together, Jeremy Irons is going to show up and we're all fucked at that point. That's what happens.
Yeah. They'll say Simon Says and all that. Well, and.
To an extent, like if I had a glass of water and I tried to pour olive oil in, it's not going to jump out of the glass. Like to what extent?
Because it's not hot.
If it was hot water and I put olive oil in, it would jump out of the glass.
Buddy, all right. Buddy. Next voicemail coming up.
I learned a little bit there. I did learn a little bit there.
I'm just glad we somehow snuck Die Hard with a Vengeance into this.
Is your brain and respect again? Everything I say is in jest and respectfully, but
sure.
Does your brain operate like Peggy, Kelly Bundy's brain operated, meaning that when one piece of information gets forced into one side, another one is forced out?
Yeah, it's like when Homer learned how to make wine and he forgot how to parallel park.
Correct.
Yeah. One thing at a time. Yeah. And okay. It's pretty much just cemented wrestling and video sure. game stuff in here, and it rejects other stuff. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn, where do potatoes come from?
The ground. And
hey,
Peru.
That one's still in there. That's
yes.
still in there.
Look, Peru,
there
is. The ground in Peru.
There's information retention.
It's crazy. He's got this like moat around his brain, and it's, you know, it is what it is. What can I tell you? Chef, we got time for one more voicemail from you, sir. Have at it.
Let's go the all-you-can-eat situation.
Nice.
Hey, this is Daniel from Fargo. Well, what's your move when faced with an all-you-can-eat situation? Are you like me and try to get your money's worth and eat yourself out of commission for the rest of the day? Or do you just like to have a little bit of everything? What's your buffavior? Okay, love you. Bye.
Oh,
that was sick.
Buffavior.
Nice drop.
I love that.
That was good.
Gotta use that. What's your buffavior?
Do you guys want to go first or shall I?
I mean, mine's easy. Chef. It's just several plates of macaroni and cheese until I'm tired of it. Then you get the soft serve and put a bunch of shit on it.
White rice. You get multiple plates of
yes.
white rice.
I did try soy sauce when I was in high school, and I was like, wow, this actually does make white rice a lot better. I was just getting white rice before.
Yeah.
Dude, you're very worldly.
Thank you.
Yeah, really ethnic sauces that you're using there.
Thank you. Real. Thank you. Yeah.
I feel like a buffet, buffets creep me out. I feel like, they're probably among the most unsanitary environments you could possibly
It depends. It depends. Yeah. But you're not far off. But I can spot a janky buffet from a mile away. Like, you guys ever been to an all-inclusive resort?
Oh yeah.
I bring an infrared thermometer with me when I go to all-inclusive resorts.
Oh,
whoa. For shoot, right.
For shoot, dude, for shoot.
For shoot.
And like, I'll legit like go and like with the thermometer gun, and I'll hit every item on the buffet, and I'll know which ones to avoid.
Okay.
Wait, so you can do that without like penetrating them?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, if we're
at meat thermometers were always like a big skewer.
No, they make laser ones now.
No, it's for surface. It's for surface. It measures the surface temperature.
Oh, okay.
You can't find out if your steak is cooked enough.
I can't figure out the internal temperature of a protein, but I can figure out if it's held at a temperature that's unsafe.
Oh, okay.
So what is that unsafe temperature?
It's between, holy fuck, now you're it's like 40 and 140, I think.
40, oh, interesting.
40 degrees off the top of my head.
Interesting.
Anything held at that temperature for like over 4 hours, bacteria start to multiply like exponentially. So that's kind of why like lukewarm buffet items are dangerous.
Yeah.
Here's the trick for a buffet. All right. One, don't eat bread. Don't eat bread. Don't eat rice. Don't eat French fries. Don't eat any bullshit empty carbs.
So anything I want there, don't eat.
Right.
Well, because why? It'll fill you up.
It'll fill you up. That's what they want you to eat.
Right.
At a certain point, you're going to a buffet. Let's call the buffet. Let's say it's $35 per person. Mm-hmm. Right. If you're eating rice, which costs them an average of 3 cents per serving, and you're eating potatoes and all these things, they'll welcome you back with open arms.
Yeah, go for the prime rib. There,
you're hitting the prime rib, you're hitting the seafood, you're hitting the live stations, fucking whatever, dude. That's what you're going for. Okay. And also, you're not filling yourself up. So you're hitting them in the wallets for sure. And at the same time, you're maximizing your investment into the process.
See, usually when I'm at an all-you-can-eat buffet, it also happens to be in Disney World and like Mickey's walking around. So usually that's my bigger concern, is like making sure I'm at the table when these
dude,
characters
how you
are
doing
be-
it? Like, I never understood that. Like, I go to Disney World once a year with my wife,
yeah,
and I've never done an all-you-can-eat restaurant at Disney World because. Like they're all like, it's like fucking turkey dinner and like this, that, and the other thing. Dude, I'm trying to walk around a fucking theme park.
It is. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
I'm not trying to eat fucking mashed potatoes and fried chicken and like all these things. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to, that's where I'll graze. That's theme parks are a grazing. That's a grazing move. Not an all you can eat sit down restaurant move.
I know you're right, but I get very excited about Disney World.
Just, yeah, no. But then why are you just going to an all you can eat restaurant where you're going to that?
Because they don't have Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
There's fucking 30 of them walking around. It's dudes in costumes. You know that, right? Like,
yeah, it's a work.
Oh, careful, oh, chef.
You know what? When I'm watching TV, that's just beams of light being shot up there. That's not really
exact same situation.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong about that, actually. You are 100%. And look, I wouldn't consider myself a Disney adult, but I do enjoy going to theme parks because I like the, no, you're for sure a Disney adult. I like the logistics behind it. And I like being able to like try a lot of things, like eating and drinking around the world at Epcot is one of my favorite things to do because
Have you been to Cova del Tequila bar in Mexico?
I don't really drink, so I've not. I do get a margarita just outside the one at the pyramid.
That's the
one with
the smaller line. That's smarter.
Yeah, that's where I get one. I'm not big on lines. You're paying a fucking over $100 to get in the park. I'm not spending a single second in line. Anyways, all you can eat buffets.
Sorry,
I totally monopolized that conversation. What do you guys think? What's your move at the all you can eat buffet besides just eating nothing and rice?
I would do like, so I'm with you, but I worry about seafood also. Like if I, last time I had it was in Vegas, which is also not anywhere near a body of water, but yet crab legs are there and you're just sort of
Vegas is an outlier. Vegas is an outlier because of the volume that they do. So they have shit flown in all the time. I, as a general rule of thumb, I avoid seafood in landlocked areas. 100% with you on that one. But Vegas, I know, is an outlier because of the, just the volume.
How often?
Which buffet was it in Vegas, by the way?
Caesars. That's what everyone.
The like, Bacchanal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to that one. Yeah. You can trust it there, dude.
Yeah. Like that was, you know, that's, I definitely ate it, but I like a part of me is always like, oh man, all these crab legs, even just the fact of being in a buffet where like, I'm like, oh, am I going to eat these shrimp? Like is shrimp okay in a buffet? Is that the move there?
Yeah, chilled. Okay. You're better off chilled anything than lukewarm. Anything.
Yeah.
And the seafood, they're going through it at such a high rate of turnover, right? People are just fucking piling up crab legs, shrimp, like towers of shrimp. So if anything, they're going through that probably faster than anything else. I actually met the executive chef at that buffet. They have over 50 dishwashers working 24 hours a day.
Whoa.
It's crazy. The logistics behind it are absolutely insane.
There is a famous story about George Brett eating a bunch of crab legs at the Bellagio and he shit his pants. So it's not 100% success rate.
And he probably ate too much.
Too much of anything is a bad thing. Yeah.
Probably also in taking some other substances that day or something.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Maybe. Oh man. Listen, we've come to the end of the program, Chef.
Oh, and we're done. We didn't finish them.
I wish we had the time. We barely made a dent, but you want to do one more? Let's do one more.
I got time for one more.
Let's do it.
If you're not sick of me yet.
Absolutely not. Please.
Educational.
Pick another one. That'd be great.
Let's bring the spork into play.
Oh yeah.
It sounds like some sex shit.
Hey, Dumb Truck Arenas. This is Mike in Chicago, and I have an important question to ask to all the food experts on today. I was taking a look, and have we peaked when it comes to eating utensils? I mean, half the world uses a fork and a knife, and the other half uses chopsticks, and we all use the spoon. And I know there was some push in the early 2000s when I was in high school, college, to bring the spork into play, but that failed miserably. And I'd just like to know, have we peaked? Are there no more, you know, inventions, innovations on how we take food from the plate to our mouth? Thanks. I'll listen to your answer.
Okay, this is a great setup for me to ask the chef about my idea that I get mocked for regularly.
This will be good.
All right. Chef, you've been to restaurants. You know what it's like. You go out there, you want to have a nice meal and everything. They bring a nice, you spend a bunch of money, and a nice steak comes to your seat there. And then you got to work. You got to sit there and they're giving you these tools and you got to take your fork and your knife and you got to go to town and burn a bunch of calories trying to rip this thing apart. I think part of going to a restaurant is like, oh, they're going to serve food and I get to enjoy and eat it. You don't want to work. So my idea is, and I think, like, you know, I like they used to say that cities were going to have to be designed around the Segway. But that didn't work. My idea, I think, will work. I think in the future, restaurants will all have a thing in the back that is like, picture a waffle iron, you know, where it's like it's all got the grid going on, but it's all like sharp on the underside. And so before they bring out my nice filet mignon or whatever, they put it on the iron thing and they chunk, chunk, and they bring it out to me. And all I got to do is enjoy this delicious filet mignon. It's all perfect bite size, ready to go. You don't even have to give me a knife.
Okay. A few things.
Thank you.
One, filet mignon is the shittiest cut of beef.
Really?
It's the most boring, shitty, flavorless.
So like, tender.
It's
the most tender, right? But that's about it. Right?
That's how they sell it on you. I hate filet mignon. I don't hate it, but I don't mind it. Second of all, the machine you're referring to, they would just use a knife to do.
I'm just saying quicker, more economical. They got a bunch of, I played Overcooked. I know it's really stressful in the kitchen. So,
oh yeah, that's 100% super accurate. Cool. So that's number two. Number three, why don't I just chew your fucking food and spit it in your mouth like a bird?
Thank you.
Well, the fun part is the eating. I want all the eating for myself, but I just want it ready to eat when it arrives.
Okay.
When I get a quarter pounder, the quarter pounder is put together. It's ready for me to take a bite out of it.
Here's the thing. If I got a ticket in my kitchen and saying customer wants their steak sliced or cut, I would do that 100%. No questions asked. No complaints ever.
I can just do that?
Yeah, dude.
I avoid ordering steak largely because of this.
No, it's called the hospitality industry. We are there to serve. We are happy. Just don't go into a place and be like, hey, can you make me an egg white omelet? But like, yeah. just shells.
Yeah, I don't know if you should try that. I don't know if you should try that at Fridays, Dan.
As long as the request is reasonable, it's not unreasonable to ask for a steak sliced before it.
Okay, sure.
Counterpoint, Dan. Cut your fucking steak.
Yes,
I don't get any joy out of that.
But that was the thing. I know.
Don't get any fucking dopamine addict. Like, you know, sometimes you just have to do tasks.
What if you didn't though? Sometimes you don't enjoy it when you're cutting. You're not like, "Wee, this is fun."
Dan.
I am like that though.
Yes, I am like that too, and it bothers me that you can't appreciate that. Right?
I feel like I'm wasting time.
No, but that was the thing. So, Chef, like when he first brought this bullshit up, we were just sort of like, what's the problem? Like, why are you such a fucking baby about this?
Right.
And he's like, well, I need my food cut for me. I'm a 4-year-old.
It is some baby
right?
shit, though. It is.
No, I don't need it. I've cut every steak I've ever eaten in my life, but I'm just saying it'd be nice if I didn't have to.
You just said you avoid ordering steaks don't have to cut them, you psycho.
Well, I usually see like macaroni or fettuccine Alfredo on the menu, and I can't say no to that. So, and also, it's harder for me to swallow meat and stuff. So, like, there's a few things working against steak.
I can see you don't know how to cut.
Dude, fettuccine Alfredo is like, if I see it on a menu anywhere, like, we go to like nice restaurants and stuff. I'll go to some like James Beard award winning restaurant and I see fettuccine and I'm like, I'm fucked. I have to order that.
I'm surprised because I'm at a point in my life. Look at me. I used to love fettuccine Alfredo. It's like my favorite thing in the world. I can't eat that anymore. No. There's no way I can eat that and just not have
a bite.
Ruin me for the rest of the day now.
Oh, just because it's like so heavy?
Yeah, it's so heavy. It's thick. It's rich. It's crazy, dude. It's like, come on. You know?
Look, it's going to hit you eventually. All right, chef. Flaming Mignon hater, that's fine. Like, what cut of steak are you going for then?
I'm a ribeye guy myself.
I knew you'd be a ribeye. All the filet mignon haters are ribeye people.
It's more flavorful to me. It's so boring. Like, I do enjoy a filet if it's done with like a peppercorn sauce.
Yes.
Or if it's like you know, if
it,
it's
it needs a sauce something.
It does need something with it, but just straight up by itself is just like, I don't know. It never did it for me. I'll even take a New York strip. Google that. I'll even take that. That was a callback to earlier. over one of those fucking things.
Are you jumping on the picanha hype train? Hearing about picanha everywhere now.
Yeah, again, that's not. It's not like a. It's not a fad. It's not a new thing. People in South America have been doing it for a long fucking time.
Yeah, but not in Ohio. We're only hearing about that because of Guga.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's true. That's true for sure. But that's a good thing about, like, look, the internet's shit for a lot of things. But a good thing is that, you know, people in Ohio can now expand their palates and see things on a recipe that they think, oh, shit, maybe I should try a picanha and do that, you know,
and then ruin it by dipping it in ranch dressing. That's the Ohio sure, way.
Putting it in a fucking definitely. Aluminum baking dish with raw pasta, a hunk of Velveeta, some cream cheese. And then farting on it.
It asked the chef to cut it for us.
Yeah, exactly. I had a rib cap like a year ago that I really liked. Good. I thought that was banging. What's the one where the is it a porterhouse where like the it's filet and something and else,
T-bone.
Right?
Yeah.
And the T-bone. Yeah. I enjoy that too.
What's the thing we got back like that gimmick, the tomahawk thing, the giant steak? That was good.
Yeah, that's a ribeye basically that. With the
okay, that was really good.
That is, yeah. And but like you said, that's a gimmick though. That's how they leave the bone in and they can charge you an extra $200 for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're paying for that bone.
That's when the company's paying for it, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, so we have reached the end. This has been amazing, Chef. We promised we would revisit this question, and I'm really upset that we had that Disney thing right at the end because it sort of normalized Mike with you in a weird way. But regardless, who is weirder, Mike or Dan?
Dan, for sure, 100%. Yeah, like, there's no hesitation.
I feel like I was throwing more ammo out there. I think Mike was sitting back.
Go ahead, give him one more. Give him one more of me, then.
Because all I really got, like, the big takeaway from Mike is the apple thing, which is strange. Yeah. But, like, Dan, you just, it's one thing after the other, dude. It's
I know.
Just like,
there's a lot more where that came from, too.
It's a litany of is what it is. Mike,
I didn't even get to the thing about how I was afraid to cook meat because I was very confused about, like, I thought when you put it in the fridge that it became raw again. And people told me I'm wrong about that. And that it's
obviously. No,
dude, you've had your moment. Mike, tell me.
I still don't know how that works.
All kidding aside, Chef, we have to send you the podcast clip where I heard that for the first time.
100%.
And it's like you can hear my brain explode in the podcast.
Guys, I am now a fan of this podcast. You have now earned a new fan because I never listened before not once. I didn't know what I was getting into. So You now have a new fan, so I will be subscribing on iTunes, leaving a 5-star review, and doing all those things.
That means a lot. For real, thank you so much for being here. I'm super glad you're able to be here and spend time with us on the voicemail dump truck. What do you have going on? Where can people find you?
Chef Reactions on all platforms. I'm really trying to grow the YouTube channel, so Chef Reactions on YouTube. And that's different from all my regular reaction stuff. That's more travel vlogs, product review, shit like that. Trying to branch out. Look, I was a professional chef for a long time. This content game is very new to me, but I dove in head first, and I'm trying to make a run for it. So I appreciate everything. Appreciate the opportunity to be on this show, guys. Had a fucking blast. Really opened my eyes to what kind of people are out there on this planet.
Yeah, right. It's eye opening.
It's anthropology is what this was.
Sure,
we're doing a public service here. Yeah.
No, I don't have anything going on. I have some stuff going on that I can't really talk about. But at Chef Reactions on all platforms, twitch.tv/Chef Reactions. I do it Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. So I appreciate everything.
Yeah, likewise. And plus, you might have gotten a YouTube video inspiration for which is the most fuckable pie. I think that is probably.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that one. That's going to be we're going to keep that for home.
Excellent.
But yeah, no.
Right on. Thank you again. That's going to do it for us. Thanks again to all the callers, the chats, all the what have yous, everyone who enjoys the podcast and tells their buddies about it. We appreciate the love. 707 exit flu. That's the phone number. Leave a voicemail for us. We'll see you back here next week. Until then, thanks once again to Chef Reactions. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thursday. The machine is on.